Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, as always, thank you for joining me. Today, I want us to think about a scripture that is familiar to most of us, which is Psalm 23, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. Now, the way most of us are used to hearing it, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." I want to read this from a different version. It's the Complete Jewish Bible, and it says, "The Lord Adonai is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water, and he restores my inner person." Well, let's just start with verse 1. The Lord Adonai is my shepherd. So Adonai is the Hebrew word that is used there. So what does Adonai mean? We know it means Lord, but let's think about this some more, okay? So the word Adonai is actually like a master or an owner. They are sovereign. They are the supreme ruler. They have the ultimate power. So when it says in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd," it means somebody having power and authority. They're the master ruler. Now, when our child dies, it's easy to see God as this mean ruler who just does whatever he wants. But Adonai, this Lord and master, is our shepherd. He is my shepherd who looks after and takes care of his sheep. We know the New Testament talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And God and Jesus, it's not bad cop, good cop. It's not that Jesus is the one who forgives us and he's the good God. And then Father God is the mean God and Jesus is like standing in between us so that God doesn't like judge us and beat us. And that's not what it is. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus came to represent the Father in the flesh. And I know these two things, Lord and shepherd, may seem to contradict each other. So I'm going to go a bit deep here. So you might want to buckle in, okay? When we become a believer or a Christian, it means that we should be choosing to allow God to be in the driver's seat of our life. When we make Jesus Lord, we say it, we sing it, Jesus is Lord. That means he's the ruler, he's the master, he's the overseer of our life. That means we have given him control of our life. However, we may have discovered, especially when our child died, that what we really did was ask God to come with me, but you sit in the passenger seat and I'm still the one driving. It's like we allowed him to get in the cockpit with us as the co-pilot, but we still want to keep control by being the pilot. And really, that's where the contradiction happens. Following Jesus is not about certainty. It's not about how I'm going to make the decisions, God, and then you're going to ride along with me. It's about trust. It is truly allowing him to be Lord in our lives without conditions. And trusting God doesn't always mean understanding him. When we don't understand the whys, we somehow think God owes us an explanation. If you've ever watched the old black and white I Love Lucy shows, it reminds me of when Desi would say, "Lucy, you got some splaining to do." I recently heard an illustration I want to pass on to you, and it's the difference between choosing to stay on the surface with feeling like you have to know why, or going deeper with him in a way that goes beyond the whys. Now, when you snorkel, you stay on the surface with your little plastic tube. You can't go deep. If you want to go deep, you have to get a tank to help you breathe, right? We cannot understand the depths of God. I think of Psalm 42, verse 7, that says, deep calls unto deep. Now, I looked that up as I was preparing all of this, and I have to share with you what I found when I looked that verse up. It goes on to say, deep calls unto deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves sweep over me. However, the Lord will send his faithful love by day, and his song will be with me in the night. I mean, I've always just heard that deep calls into deep, but I've never really paid attention to the rest of that. When the waves are just breaking over us, deep calls to deep. We're calling to God. He's going to send his love and his song to us. Staying on the surface is continuing to feel like God owes you an explanation and tell you why. Going deep means you choose to trust God in the horrible circumstance, that he is love, he is comfort, he is peace. It may be something that our heart and our head are having a hard time reconciling. I get that. When you choose to go deep, though, you come out on the other side knowing God in a way you never did before. You know how wonderful and faithful he really is, because it's a miracle for him to bring us out of that dark place and back into being able to live a life of light and hope and even meaning and purpose again. Don't you feel like it would take a miracle for you to come out of that dark place? Well, God is a miracle working God. And when you do come out of that deep place, you can see just how incredible he is to have brought you through that. I recently got an email from someone, and she said something along the line of, my relationship with God is different now. It's stronger, if that makes sense. And it really did make sense to me. Continuing to ask, why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to us? It's like snorkeling. It's kind of surface Christianity. I think of all the people listed in Hebrews 11 that did not get to see what was promised to them on this side of heaven. Now, if you read toward the end of the chapter, it even talks about how so many of them went through things like being whipped, tortured, stoned, imprisoned, being homeless, and more horrible things. The Message Bible says they made their way as best as they could on the cruel edges of the world. That sounds relatable, doesn't it? But the thing is, they were still holding on to their faith, their trust in God. Like I already said, trusting God does not mean that we always understand him. I mean, he is God. He is beyond our understanding. And it's a choice whether we're going to decide, well, because I don't understand you, I'm going to think you're horrible and terrible and I don't want anything to do with you, or I'm mad at you. And it's a choice that we get to make based on how we choose to see him at this point, because we don't understand him. Going deep in our faith is saying, God, I don't know why you allowed this, but in the middle of this horrible darkness and pain, I need you to be my hope. I need you to be my light, and I need you to show me the way out. Even when I can't see you, I am not going to let go of your hand until I can see you again. I choose to trust you through this, even though I don't understand it. When we continually choose this, and it's a process for sure, we come out on the other side even more in love with him than ever before, with a stronger faith in who God is and an even greater trust that he will always be with me no matter what. Now, we know that bailing our kids out from a bad situation is not always the best thing for them. Yes, it keeps them comfortable, but it's not always what is needed. It's not what is going to help them grow and mature. And likewise, God does not always rescue us from our circumstances. but He definitely walks with us through them. There are times, like the death of your child, that He wants to save you through it, not from it. And I know we would all, we can't even put words to how much we would rather have been saved from it, from experiencing the death of our child. There is a huge difference. I think you can automatically see that. And as He does, as He saves you through this, you have an opportunity to get to know Him intimately in a deeper way that most others do not get a chance to know. One of the things that just has really struck me a few years ago and stayed with me is the scripture. I wasn't going to share this, so I don't know the scripture off the top of my head, the reference, but it talks about knowing God in His resurrection power, which we get all excited about, but it says we have to know Him in His sufferings. And to know God in His sufferings, the fact that we have lost a child, we can relate to God, and God can relate to us on the death of a child. To know that depth of suffering, most others don't get a chance to know Him truly in His suffering, that He suffered as a father with His son, dying a horrible, torturous death. And to me, that means, wow, the resurrection power that we will eventually also get to know Him in. But wow, the fact that we get to know God in such a deep way, if we choose to, because of this thing we have in common with Him. No, we are going to stay stuck, going round and round in circles like this until we choose to take a turn. And that turn is toward God. It's like we're stuck in a roundabout. We're just going around and round fighting with God about how unfair the death of our child is, how God isn't really good, or He would not have allowed my child to die, how I'll never be able to be happy again. You know, those kinds of thoughts that we have, maybe even things that we say along that line, we're stuck there. And that's, like I said, we have to choose to turn off of that and choose to turn toward God. This is a turn of surrender. Remember the story Jesus told that we call the parable of the prodigal son? This young man wanted his inheritance early, and then he went and lived a very loose and wild lifestyle, burning up through all that money until he found himself in a very bad place. He was taking care of pigs and eating their slop for his own food. Now, even as disgusting as that is, in the Jewish laws, pigs were forbidden. They were unclean animals. And so that made it even worse. Now, when he hit what we here in the U.S. call rock bottom, he realized that even his father's servants were eating better than he was. His father's slaves were eating better than he was. So he decided to go back to his father. Now, the words that are used say, but when he came to himself. That's really interesting, isn't it? Most versions say when he came to his senses. Some say when he realized what he was doing. The voice version says it this way. He had this moment of self-reflection. What am I doing here? And I feel like we need the same thing. We need to come to our senses. We need to realize what we're doing and continuing to circle the roundabout and turn off of it back to the Father. And we know how the Father ran to meet him with open arms and so much love. No judgment. It was just total embrace and acceptance. Now, some of us need to be honest with ourselves and admit that we don't want to come out of the roundabout. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want others to feel sorry for us. My child died. Everybody should feel bad for me. But the thing is, that puts us on the devil's playing field, and I don't think you want that. Now, I understand. When Becca first died, that's how I wanted to introduce myself to everybody. Hi, I'm Laura. My daughter died, because that was my identity. But we do get to a point where we can start making choices. Am I going to continue to take that and keep that as my identity? Or am I going to turn toward God and choose to believe that Satan is the enemy, not God? Because that's what Satan wants. He wants to keep that wedge between you and your father. Now, let me also say that there is a difference between still missing our child deeply, even with lots of tears at times, and deciding that we just can't live without our child, and believing that the pain that we have is what keeps us attached to him or her. Let me just say, you will not start forgetting about your child if you stop hurting so much that you're barely able to function. It is the love you will always carry for your child that will keep you attached to them. It is not the pain of missing them. It is the love you will always continue to have for them that keeps you connected to your child. And it is God's love that will pull us out of the darkness. His love as our good shepherd, our good shepherd. God's love is like a circle that has no beginning and no end. If we were to draw half of the circle to represent God's love for us, what do you think the rest of the completed circle would represent? If your answer is our love for him, I feel like you'd be wrong, because I feel like what completes the circle is our receiving his love for us. He is giving us love, but we have to receive it, even in our pain and confusion, so that we can begin to trust him again and then return that love to him and come out of the darkness. When you think about it, just like an infant, they can't return signs of love to us until they are able to receive the love we have to give them. And once this infant knows he or she is loved, then they can begin to love us in return. Once we allow God to be the pilot, to be the one driving our lives, and we surrender to being the passenger, receiving his love and care as the good shepherd he truly is, we will find ourselves in a much better place as hope and light and meaning and purpose return to our lives. It's when we come to him humbled and surrendered that we can even begin to hear him speak to us in a loving way that we can receive. And for me personally, at this point, no explanation is even needed, because I know Becca is safe. She's in a place so wonderful, I can't even imagine it. She is experiencing no sickness, no betrayals, no painful things here on this earth, no physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain from this world. And I get to join her there someday. Until then, I feel like I'm like a child, just walking hand in hand with my daddy God, knowing that he is for me and he will be with me no matter what else happens in this life. And let me say, this is so very freeing. It doesn't mean I'm not triggered. It doesn't mean I don't have days of pain, tears, not getting upset about rough things that still happen to me in this life. But there truly is a peace that goes beyond my own understanding. God is in the driver's seat, and I am the willing passenger along for the ride. We are all broken, deeply broken. In fact, I remember feeling so shattered that I didn't even think it was possible to find all the pieces, much less have God put them all back together again. But as I continued this journey, I began to see and understand that brokenness can actually be a gift. When we know and admit how broken we are to God from a place of being vulnerable and no longer fighting him, we can experience an incredible depth of his love in a way that we did not even know was possible here on this earth. And I am in awe of it. It really is true that in my weakness, He is strong. And man, that is some kind of strength, because we all know how weak we are. If you aren't there yet, that's okay. It took me a long time too. Just know that it is possible. Yes, even for you. He really is a good shepherd, ready and waiting to love and help bring healing to his deeply wounded sheep. Well, today all we did was get to the first line in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, just talking about the Good Shepherd. So next week, my plan is to continue looking at these two verses. I hope you join me. How would you like to join Dave and I for a two-day retreat in Florida? It will be February 21st and the 22nd right on Cocoa Beach. If you would like to continue our time together, you can hop on a cruise ship with us from February 23rd to the 27th with the Grief Cruise, where we will also have a seminar at sea. Now, this is going to be the fourth Grief Cruise Dave and I have been part of, and it is wonderful. You can do both, the pre-cruise retreat and the cruise, or you can do one or the other, just the Renew and Remember retreat or just the cruise. To find out more about either or both of these, just go to gpshope.org/cruise. You can find out a lot more about it, and there is a button to click on to request more information, which will connect you with our friend and the host of these events, Lynn Finley. I really hope you check it out, because we would love to have you join us in February. Let's go ahead with today's birthday segment. Jason Turner was born on May 20th and left us at age 36. Joseph Lefebvre was born on May 21st and left us at age 35. Isaiah Santel was born on May 22nd and left us at age 16. We celebrate the day these three came into the world. It will always be a special and important day. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out the information, submit it, and I will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. I want to close today out by reading Psalm 42 from the Passion Translation. Now, I read a little bit of that earlier, the deep calls into deep, but I want to read this whole chapter to you. I long to drink of you, O God, to drink deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night my tears keep falling, and my heart keeps crying for your help, while my enemies mock me over and over, saying, "Where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you?" So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front, leading the procession of praise when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the feast of the Lord. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for you are my saving grace. Here I am, depressed and downcast, yet I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. My deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. The waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering cataract. And all through the day, Yahweh has commanded his endless love to pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs and my praises to the living God. I will say to God, You are my mountain of strength. How could you forget me? Why must I suffer this vile oppression of my enemies, these heartless tormentors who are out to kill me? Their wounding words pierce my heart over and over while they say, "Where is this God of yours?" So I say to my soul, "Don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed, for I know my God will break through for me. Then I will have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, he is my saving grace." Oh, that's just so good. I fully believe that as you repeatedly choose to both surrender and trust in his love for you as the good shepherd, that you will have the breakthrough this talks about. And let me say, it is definitely worth hanging on and fighting for. So as you do, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.